Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another NCAA Rugby podcast. My name's Joe Harvey, and as ever, I'm joined by head writer on NCAARugby.com.
Probably just editing and putting loads of typos into everything.
That's what we're told.
Yeah.
That's Chris Hill, by the way. I should probably make that a bit more clear. But Chris, we are at another club today on our travels yet again, although we're probably going to get criticised for maybe not being on our travels enough for this
one.
Well,
I mean, you look at the trains in the last sort of 2 weeks or so, and I think our decision has been justified. Yeah. We are at Sedley Park, which is obviously a club very close to us in terms of both Max Ashcroft and Max Coffish, who work for us at the NCA. It's their rugby club, and it has been for quite a few years now. So we thought we'd be at Christmas time, we'll make it easy for ourselves, but still some great interviews have to come, Joe.
Yeah, no, and we are also videoing today's podcast, so that's a bit of an interesting thing. We haven't done that since Filed?
No. When was that? Filed was March, wasn't it? March time?
Wow, that was a long time ago, actually. Yeah. That's incredible. But yes, we're also videoing it, so I'm sure that'll be available on YouTube, and you'll see me fidgeting around quite a lot, because it's actually quite an interesting job maintaining all this equipment and everything like that we've got going on at the minute. But yeah, this is actually 1 year since the first NCAA Rugby podcast, which was actually part of my university coursework. I rocked up one day in December, we all did a pod, and then I went home to the University of Derby, where I then ended up completing my studies, and now I'm doing this all the time. The thing is, the topic of that podcast was talking about Sedley Park Tigers. We had two players in the room. We couldn't get down to a club because of the, not expense,
logistics, but we
were uncertain whether or not the podcast was going to become a regular occurrence. Since then, it has become a regular occurrence and is now exclusively on the road for ncarugby.com. Now, yeah, we're at Sedley Park Tigers, Park Lane.
Yeah, for my first visit, and Max couldn't believe that when I told him I moved.
I couldn't believe it when you told us.
Yeah, when I used to do the Stockport stuff, it was the two games that I missed that season were Sedge home and away, which is a weird coincidence.
That is odd.
Yeah, so
funny how things
are. But now I'm here, it's another one off the list.
Yeah, so we are going to be talking about National 1, National 2 North, and National 2 South in this quick podcast. So we might as well get into, and to be fair, another way we're going to justify being at Sedge is because they're in the top three of National 2 North as things stand. They are third two with only, sorry, I'll actually learn English one day. Coldy are top of the league with a game in hand with 66 points, having won 14 games on the trot. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's the one word you could probably say about Coldy as well. They've been completely relentless since coming down from National 1, Joe. I mean, every podcast we talk about them, they've not lost yet, and we're coming up to the Christmas period, 14 games winning streak, and obviously last weekend was a really double win for them, really, if you like. You know, they got a fabulous win at home to Stourbridge, and then to find out that Fylde had been beaten against Sheffield Tigers was like, well, now we've got a bit of breathing space, 8 points clear at the top, and they've never hid away from the fact they want to be a National 1 club again, and they're going the right way about it. They've got Chester, I think, this weekend to finish off the 2019, so a win away at Chester, and that's some statement for Coldy in the first half of the year.
I'll tell you what, that is the thing, isn't it? And as well, they maintain so many players, so it's probably not a massive surprise that you know, things are going so well. Fylde are currently second with 58 points, but did lose 16 points to 10 at Sheffield. They beat Sedgley Park Tigers before that.
Yeah.
At the Woodlands.
Yeah.
So, were people maybe expecting Fylde to kick on from that result, considering it was such a close rival at the time?
I think so, Joe. I think you're absolutely spot on there. I think that win against Sedge was probably like, well, here we go. It's well and truly in our hands now. Yes, Sedge have got that game in hand to come against Coldy at the start of the new year. But, I mean, they were pretty disappointed in the second half. And Warren Sprack said that himself. You know, they played well to get 10-6 in front, but let the game slip away for them. And at this stage of the season, with Sedge playing the way they have been playing, especially last week, they're right back on the tails again.
Yeah, and it just is one of those mad seasons at the top of National 2 North, as it always kind of has been since I stopped covering the league in particular. And then that does also mean that we're going to third place, which is Sedgley Park Tigers. Sedgley Park Tigers are still, well, they're back into the kind of promotion race, we'll call it. Top three is always the most exciting bit, after they smashed Scunthorpe here at Park Lane, and also have a game in hand because they have to play Coldy after their game was called off on a day. I got stranded in Chester.
Yeah, the weather was pretty bad that day. It was awful. It was absolutely dreadful. With the World Cup final day?
No, it was the semi-final.
The semi-final.
It took me 5 hours to travel 30 miles.
Yeah, not the best. Not the best, but
I'm not bitter.
in terms of Sedge, you know, that is that is the game they're going to want to really challenge and look towards. I mean, you know, we will be coming on to speak to Scott, but we pre-recorded it.
Guilty.
He did say, you know, it's all about taking one game at a time, and if they do get past Wharfdale on the weekend, it's a big sort of a big marker for them. They can go into next season and start planning for maybe finishing out top two. But if they do get the result on the weekend, they will be looking at a final game. But that Coldy game in hand in February is the two big games where their season could be decided. So, but they'll be massively, massively pleased with the performance on the weekend. And if they do get something at a tough Wharfdale on Saturday afternoon, you know, they'll be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, it's such a notoriously difficult place to go is Wharfdale. All the farmers, as I generally understand.
Very hostile.
You've been very
passionate. No, I haven't actually. It's not.
Where were they when you first started?
They were in National 3, which was National 3 North at the time.
Right.
And then they came up, but, you know, they're really passionate down there. And they'll be absolutely revved up to get the win. I think they've had a bit of indifferent form, and I think they're 12th or 13th in the league. So they'll be really keen to get the result on Saturday, and Sedge will be in for a tough battle. It's always been a tough battle at the Avenue.
Yeah, so we might as well move into our interview with Sedgley Park Tigers head coach Scott Barrow. And after that, we'll be bringing you a bit of a preview, kind of review of National 1. We're now joined by Sedgley Park head coach Scott Barrow on the NCAA Rugby Podcast. Scott, how has life been settling in at Sedgley Park?
It's been really good. You know, I spoke to Jeff early in the summer, and I was umming and ahhing whether to do it or not. And then he said, just come and do it when you can. And, you know, because my job was a bit up in the air with my day job. So I said, you know what? I spoke to guys at work at Carnegie, and they said, look, it's up to you. So I jumped in and said, you know what, I'll do it. And they've been really good. You know, I've settled in really well. There was no pressure put on me. The only pressure really I put on is on myself. There's the squad. Is there anyone you want to bring in, or what can we do to help? And, you know, everyone's been great. I've got a good coaching team with me. And if I can't make it due to other commitments, then they'll take over. And if they can't make it, I'll generally do a lot of it anyway. So, you know, there's been no pressure put on me, and I've really enjoyed the role so far.
Just for people that don't know, what is the day job? If people maybe aren't even watching the video that we're doing today.
Yeah.
Because you are wearing a Yorkshire Carnegie top. So what is the day
job? Yeah, well, my role... former role was a transition coach for the Yorkshire County Academy to go into the first team. Now, obviously, a lot's gone on with the first team and where they're at, so we've been steadily pulled away. The licence for the academy has been taken away from Carnegie, so we're still running as an academy. We still have senior academy players who I look after. We're in the middle of rebranding into the Yorkshire Rugby Academy, so I still have quite a lot of lads and their development to look after, and at the moment Sale Sharks have been really good, and we have six or seven lads playing for the Jets on a Monday night and training once or twice a week with the first team as our first team, or the Carnegie first team, is now semi-professional and training Tuesday, Thursday night. So right. Those lads need a bit of a reference point. They need to know what it looks like to be a professional. And Sale have been really great in that and allowing us to tread that path a little bit.
Yeah, with your role there, Scott, I mean, you're looking at the Sedgley Park team. It's a very, very young team. And we spoke to Leon Simpson last month, and he said it's been a really smooth transition. Do you feel that as a coach that you've been able to use your skills in the past into this Sedgley team?
Yeah, I definitely do. There's a lot of young lads. You know, there's still quite a few. Still at MMU, and some just come out of MMU, so you know, there is a young group, and I feel the older lads who have been here a while, you know, your Riles, Piggy, they are helping out all the time. You've got Connor James, been outstanding this season. Probably for me, for Connor James himself, with my development hat on, to look after Connor James himself, we've actually said to him, look, you're going to come out of rugby for 5-6 weeks, and you're going to do a physical development block now as a rugby club, but plays week to week and trains Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I've had to, you know, ask a few people if that's all right. But for Connor James to play at the highest level he can, he probably does need, you know, a block of physical development at this point in his career. And then next year, hopefully, he's with us again, and we'll see the benefits from that. So we'll get a block of physical development now, have another block in the summer, and you know, you're not always going to get coaches who are going to allow that to happen. In fact, he probably won't have it happen again, but because I'm in that side of things, I think it's only fair that the lad gets his best opportunity. And the same for Leon. You know, Leon's been outstanding. He's playing a lot of rugby, but I think Leon's game understanding is probably where he needs to go next. And through playing a lot of rugby, he'll get that. So it's different things for different players. But you know, hopefully they're all getting a bit better and all developing.
Yeah, and in that youth and experience, you mentioned Riles, you mentioned Piggy. Have you been sort of surprised by the way you've gone this year, or have you felt like the balance in the squad's been perfect for you guys to be where you are at the moment?
Well, when I come on, I set up the new WhatsApp group, as you do when you first get a new group of lads. So I set up a WhatsApp group with a couple of the senior lads in, so Mark Goodman, Bob, Piggy, Riles, and said, right, we need to sit down as soon as we can, have a look at the squad. Jeff is involved, has John, Johnny Rodham, and I got told Dave Livesey was coming on as well, so he was willing to help out as well. So we all sat around the table pretty early, and they were like, we've lost second row. We lost Guy to Chester, we lost Hallam, Andy Riley has stepped away for a bit, and there was a bit of we're doomed here, we're not really struggling, we're going to struggle this season, blah, blah, blah. So for me, I just thought, you know what we need to do in pre-season is get a way we want to play. I watched the last nine games of last season when they went unbeaten. I went away and watched that, and I thought, attack doesn't need a lot of work on. They know the system, they know there's not a lot of change needs to come in there. So I said, right, I'll focus for the first 6 weeks. Well, the first, 6 weeks leading into the season was going to be our defence. And then the first couple of warm-up games, everyone was like, it's good this, we never really defended properly before. We've always, you score, we score, yeah, you yeah, score, yeah. We score. So it was great. And, you know, the lads have really bought into everything that I've started done in pre-season. And then the coaches are helping me out, and we just seem to have gained confidence from each other, from getting a good defensive system in place. The attack's always been sound, they've always scored points, and the way that's gone on is just sort of snowballed a bit, because they're thinking, right, well, he knows his stuff, we'll back him. And I've seen them put the body on the line week after week, and you know, none more so first game of the season at Preston. We went in with very little detail of how I wanted to attack, just a system of defence, and out and out effort and determination won us the game.
Definitely,
and
yeah.
To see that in the first game, you can't coach that into a lot of teams and into a lot of lads. So to see that first up in the very first pressure situation, it was like, right, we're all right here, we're going to be fine. And as soon as the Preston game was finished, I said, look, I'm really proud. That's one of those things you just can't coach into teams. And you know, and we've added detail since, and the details kept on sort of layering on, and hopefully we're developing it as a squad as we go.
Yeah. So you want to just talk about this weekend?
Yeah, and then we'll kind of top things up. You're looking, midway point of the season, Scott. I mean, you know, you had that defeat against Fylde, but obviously they dropped points last weekend, and you put in a great performance against Scunthorpe. Do you feel that the race for that top two is now back on, or was it ever off, if you like?
Well, with this, like I said, from coming in, walking through the door, there's been no pressure to say, we want what top two, we want top four, it was just enjoy it, get stuck in and see where we end up. And I've always said, if we're in with a shout at Christmas, then you know, we'll think about that once we get past Christmas and we're back into the new year. If we go to Wharfdale this week, massive test for us, just physically, mentally. I think we're probably on paper, we have got a better squad, but those guys, you know, in Wharfdale, the Christmas party, it's going to be chocker, it's hostile anyway, and some of our lads won't have experienced that, so you know, it's good for them just to go experience it, see what it's like to play under a bit of pressure. And if we get to Christmas and we've only lost three, I'll be really pleased. You know, the lads were saying, I don't know so much, but the lads were saying they've lost six or seven this time last year, and you know, they said, let's have a look after Christmas, but you know, let's get the Wharfdale game done, and let's concentrate on it, make sure if we don't come away winners, we learn a lot from it, and we have the experience of playing in a hostile environment. Well, some, like I said, some of the lads, young lads who have never experienced that before, so you know, it'll be a good day on Saturday. I think the lads will be up for it, and you know, hopefully we can get to Christmas only with three losses.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I think that's it for us.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us, Scott, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much. Cheers, gents.
Straight into National One. Now, there's 5 points separating the top four. 1 point separates the top three, that top four being Richmond, Roslyn Park, Rams and Chinner. Rams are probably the big surprise in all this.
I think surprise is another word we've used a lot, Joe, in the podcast when we've talked about Rams. They've had such a flying start to the season, but they've, I think, because Rosslyn Park and Richmond have been sort of swapping places over the last couple of weeks, many people have not really focused on Rams, and six wins of the last seven has literally just kept them in such for the last couple of weeks. But on the weekend they'll manage to go level on points with Rosslyn Park over second, and you know, right on the tails of Richmond now, and it's an absolutely compelling sort of title race. And I know you're going to go on to it, Joe, that Chinna are also in the mix after a good recent form.
Yeah, Chinna was one of those clubs that we were looking at during the preseason saying, look at those players they're signing. Lawrence May, of course, just at Ealing before that, and I'm just trying to think, Carl Cohen, who you spoke to mm-hmm. the other day, we'll talk about that in a second. And yeah, Richmond carried on their good form with another win over, well, with another win this time over Birmingham. Birmingham Moseley, 29-10. That was Richmond, obviously having a bit of a kind of a dour spell.
Yeah, I mean, they got beat by Sale, didn't they? Sale FC.
They got beat by Rosslyn Park. They got beat by someone else.
And well, Plymouth Albion as well, which was probably the most surprising of the three. So you know, they've sort of bounced themselves back from that, and because you know Rosslyn Park and Rams have played each other as well, they've managed to just get back the season back on track. And you know, I think if you'd gone to the club at the start of the season after what happened in the summer and said, you know, you'll be top at Christmas time, they'd snap me round off. So they do get their result against Chinna this weekend, which is a massive game, which we'll go on to as well. You know, they'll be very, very pleased, but they've done well to get the season back on track after, you know, the mini dip was probably expected during such a competitive National One campaign this year.
Yeah, Rosslyn Park as well. Last season they were so close, but it seemed also yet so far from that number one spot. But you know, they won 8.6 at the weekend. Now, that's a hard-fought victory against, what was it, Cinderford?
Cinderford, yeah.
Against a pretty good Cinderford side that had a very good start to the season. So, would it be fair to suggest that they're finding ways to win, even if it is ugly now, Rosslyn Park?
That was a massive win for them. You know, they will may say to you, oh, yeah, the Richmond game was big. You know, at the time, you know, they were 7 points behind them, I think, and they managed to narrow the gap. And then, you know, they've come into it, and they've come away, sorry, from Cinderford with a hard-fought win, and you know that might be something they look back on at the end of the season and think, you know, that was a big win for us. And I know it was only 4 points, and they lost top spot because they didn't pick up the bonus point, and Richmond picked up all five against Birmingham Moseley. But you're absolutely right, Joe. If you're gonna go and try and challenge for a title, you've got to find ways to win on a cold December afternoon.
Oh, and it is a cold December.
It's absolutely freezing.
We kind of just talked about Rosslyn and Rams there, even. Rams, of course, level on points, Rosslyn Park. Chinna, 7 games unbeaten, beat Darlington Mowden Park last weekend. Mowden, they're a good team. A lot of young talent, all roughly the same age, but then they've also got that kind of sprinkling of experienced players, and they're one of those teams that you kind of always expect. It might be unfair to say this, but maybe just a bit more.
Yeah, I think they had a mixed season last year, and to be honest, they started this season a bit of a patchy form. But the recently before that Chinna game, they were really going well. I think it was 4 or 5 games they had unbeaten, and it was sort of a big game really for both sides because they knew they were only 5 points behind the top. A win would keep them in touch with the title race, and Chinna managed to get the win last weekend against a really strong Darlington Mowden Park side. So, you know, DMP and I think have slipped down to 7th because of the result, and that shows how tight it is. If you lose one game, you could be out the running for a bit. So it's a big, big win for Chinna, and they're starting to hit the stride at just the right time. 7 games unbeaten now, and if they were to go and get a result against Richmond on Saturday, then that is an absolutely monumental run of form they put together going into the new year.
And one of those four teams that we've just talked about are likely to be our first stop in 2020.
Yes, we're hoping to. We're at the end of the cycle now because we started on a bright, sunny afternoon, evening at Preston, no coats required that evening. We sat outside, we watched training at the wonderful facilities at Lightfoot Green, but now we're sat here, it's dark, it's chucking it down.
That's what I was about to say. It was roughly the same time as this we were watching training at Preston.
Yeah.
Bit of a contrast.
Yeah, it's freezing cold. We've been put into the bar area, which is all Christmassy and nice and warm for us. But yeah, we're open to start the new year by going back to National One. So we'll be having a bit of a meeting about that in the new year, about where we're going to go to. So watch out for that one.
Controversially, not the biggest Christmas man. Me? No, I don't really like Christmas.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to get flack for that, aren't I?
Yes, probably. You're not allowed on the Christmas do then, if you don't like Christmas.
I like alcohol.
Well, it doesn't really count, does it? You can have alcohol any time of year.
Every night. Yeah, so obviously we talked about the top of National One. And what always has a top always has a bottom, I've always found. Mm-hmm. That could be misconstrued. Anyway, Let's think about what else we've got here. Canterbury have a win, but have lost to relegation rivals Rotherham at the weekend. Canterbury have been just taking National One with all its glory from what I've been seeing from some of the boys there. It's difficult to explain because they were so good in National 2 South last year.
Yeah, you know, it was always going to be tough for them. You know, they're a club that's stuck to the principles, stuck to their ethos, and they have found it really tough. They got such a big win the other week at the start of the month, and people were like, well, you know, that's a major positive. There's still a lot of work for them to do if they're going to even try and turn around what's actually happened so far this season. But that Rotherham defeat would have really hurt them. Yeah. You know, they were 17-7 up, Joe, and, you know, for Rotherham to come back is, you know, the other side of the coin, if you like, that may reinvigorate them now. Yeah. 8 points off the off safety, sorry, and you know they will now be thinking, you know, if we get a decent result on the weekend and then go into the new year still in touch with, if you like, to Birmingham, Mosley, we're just above the relegation zone, then we've got a chance. But you know, that would have really stung Canterbury after such a good start to the month.
Yeah, and Canterbury are going to be losing Jamie Deaver. He's going back to Major League Rugby and things like that. So things aren't exactly looking up, which is the sad thing. But the thing is, at this stage of the season, unfortunately, we're going to have to basically suggest that Canterbury are done in National One.
Yeah,
same with the Lyonians.
I think when I was with Stockport, and when they were in National 2 North, they were in a similar situation. That was 2014-15 season. Okay. So, I mean, I think even, you know, you speak to some of the lads there, they were probably accepted it when, you know, you head into the January period that we were a long way off. I think Stockport had won one game or maybe two games by that point, and they knew it was probably done then. So, you know, the realists in the club will think there's a long way to go, and you might have the optimists that would be believing that, yeah, you know what, a couple of results in January might be able to spark something. But honestly, I think, not me sitting on the fence here, but I think both of them, they're going to really struggle to turn any that around, and it could be already over for them with, you know, still 15 games to go.
And what I would like to say, Canterbury put on a great do.
And Hull Ionians' club is fantastic, by the way. Oh. Brandon Park's one of the best facilities in the National League. So, you know, they'll be missed from National One.
Well, but they'll be straight back into National 2 North, where things are as competitive as
exactly.
ever. And talking of a man that knows about kind of National One, Championship, National 2 North.
He's done it all.
So good they named him once.
Correct.
Next chat is with club captain at Sedgley Park Tigers, Matt Riley. We're now joined by Matt Riley, captain of Sedgley Park Tigers, on the NCAA Rugby podcast. Matt, currently injured at the minute, but how are things?
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. Not for myself personally, but the club. Yeah, we're doing all right at the minute. Yeah, we've lost three games at the minute so far, all by less than 7 points, so the team's doing really well.
Yeah, third place at the minute, 4 points off of Fylde, who are just ahead of you. And obviously you guys have got a game in hand as well, so that must kind of make you feel quite confident going into the new year.
Yeah, it does, it does. It's probably the best we've done for a few seasons, even though we've got to the playoffs and stuff. We're in third place, but I don't think we've got to Christmas with only three losses before. We had a chance against Fylde the other week to close the gap, couldn't quite manage a draw in the last closing minutes, and we've still got a game in hand, obviously, against Caldy. So we're hoping after Christmas, if we can get past Wharfdale this week, hopefully put a good run together after Christmas and try and put pressure on the top two.
And you're Sedgley Park Tigers' longest serving first team player. What has it been, 10 years?
I think it's my 14th season.
14th season, right. So you were with the club when they were in what was then known as National One, which is the Championship.
Yeah.
So you've seen this club go through loads of changes, really, in that time.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel really, really old.
I can make you feel old and tell you how old I was when you first joined the team.
Yeah.
I was seven.
Seven, Jesus. I've seen lots of coaches come and go and players come and go and stuff like that. And it's nice now. I think when I first joined, I was 20, I think. So I was one of the young lads, and I used to look at all the old guys who were like 30-odd and slowing down and putting weight on, and I used to think, bloody hell, they're old. And that's what all the young lads must think of me now. But it's nice having a bit of experience and trying to give other lads a little bit back and just seeing young lads develop and giving them, you know, we've got some other experienced lads. It's not just me that's old, and we've got a lot of young lads, so we just sort of try and give them the confidence, just go out and play. And yeah, hopefully they're doing that. They're doing the business on a Saturday, which is good to see.
Yeah, because Scott mentioned about the young lads that have come into the side this year, Matt. Are you surprised by how well the club's done this year because they've gone through a transition again?
I wouldn't say surprised. Maybe if you'd have said to me beginning of June, you know, we didn't have a coach at that time. We were still waiting on the decision off Scott. Without probably having a backup, so thankfully he signed. We lost quite a few lads who've been with us for 4 or 5, 6 years, experienced lads. We lost them over the summer. We didn't really get a chance to rebuild because Scott come in so late. He managed to pick up a few young lads and stuff. And, you know, if you'd have said to us then, the beginning of June, you're going to get to Christmas, you're going to lost three games by less than 7 points, you'd have probably snapped your hand off, yeah, if I'm honest. But I'm not surprised. We've got some talented lads here. We've had a few injuries over the past 3 months or something, but we've got a bit of strength in depth this year, something we've probably not had in previous years. So I'm not surprised, no, to be honest.
And in terms of sort of, you know, you've been involved in promotion challenges in the past, you know, you've been to playoff finals, yeah, and trying to crack that top two. Do you think what do you think is necessary if Sedge were to try and, or their ambitions were to try and take that step this year?
It's just consistency, I think.
Because this league's getting so
competitive. Yeah, it is, yeah. It is. And especially when you're near the top of the league, all the teams at the bottom, form goes out the window. They see you as a bit of a scalp, especially when they're playing at home. Mm. Especially, you know, a team like Wharfdale, they might be in 12th position, but they've got some really good players. And especially near Christmas, they probably have a decent crowd there. And the teams see you as a scalp. It's just consistency. It's just turning up week in, week out, knowing that, you know, teams at the bottom of the league, they're gonna play twice as well as they might have done the previous week just to try and beat you.
And how does this squad compare to previous years? Because it seems like it's probably the longest squad age, like average age, that you've probably had in quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell. I can probably tell you that at the end of the season, you know, in previous years we've probably had more recognisable names and people with a bit more experience. Yeah, we've done well. We've got to two playoffs in previous years, but I think this is exciting. I think there's some young lads who are showing some real promise, and the more games they play, the better they'll get. It's just exciting. I think, you know, we're going to kick on. We'll see where we finish at the end of this season. We're looking to rebuild for next season already, trying to get as many lads signed up as possible. Then we can see what we're missing and try and target some key positions and go again next year.
And what is one of your standout memories from your time so far at Sedge?
Not to make Matt feel old again.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because I remember the Northampton ones.
Well, I don't know if that was a good memory. 96-3. it was good for Northampton.
It was good for the three.
Yeah. No. Look, there's so many memories, I think. So many wins. I think you always try and remember your wins on the road, like when you're going all the way to Cornwall and picking up a win to Redruth or Launceston. They're the good days. Sometimes it's not necessarily the games, it's the memories of going out for a drink with the lads. And I think it's just the people you meet. Honestly, the people I've met for this club, not just the players, but the coaches, the committee men, the staff, the fans and stuff like that. I think that's probably my best memory, and that's probably what's kept me here so long, I think. But yeah, we've not really won. I think we've won the Lancashire Cup twice since I've been here. A couple of playoff defeats, probably not won many things, but... You know, for me, success, it's not at this level, it's not always judged on how many trophies you've won, but the good times that you've had, I think, for me.
And I don't expect you to be keeping up with this, but 350 appearances last season, so it must be, what, 360, about 370, getting on to 370. Yeah. When does it hit a point where you're thinking the bodies can't hack this anymore?
If I'm honest, 33, it's, for me, that's not old. And I have been, apart from this season, I've been really, really lucky with injuries. Probably played through some that I shouldn't have done, but I've not missed many, if I'm honest, over the last 10 years. Last season, I managed to lose a little bit of weight and felt good and played 30 games and felt really good. So I come into this season full of confidence. First session of pre-season brought me foot. But I always say I'll carry on playing for, one, as long as I keep enjoying it, and two, as long as I think I can still give to the team, and at the minute I still feel like I've got a lot to give, so I'm just happy at the minute. Yeah.
Well, Matt, we obviously do wish you a very speedy recovery.
Yeah.
And hope to see you back in that 12 shirt soon. And yeah, all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So we're now joined on the NCA podcast by club physios Ben and Alan. Guys, thanks very much for joining us. Ben, we'll start with you. First of all, how did you get involved with the job at Sedgley Park?
I got involved with the job through one of my lecturers at uni, Liz Fowler, who sort of invited me down after I'd graduated. She was leaving her post here, and I started off with the second team. That was five seasons ago now, so I'm into my sixth season here. So I worked with the second team for two seasons and then moved up to the first team alongside Alan.
Yeah, and was that for like your experience really that you decided to come down and give it a go?
Yeah, I mean it was difficult in getting work after I'd graduated, so it was sort of a foot in the door for me to work in sport, and sort of instantly as soon as I came down here, felt like I was part of a family, part of a community, and yeah, the rest is history. I didn't want to leave, so yeah. I'm still here.
And Alan, I presume you get the same vibe as well, that this is a club that's now really close to you. How long have you been here for?
Yeah, I've been here, this is my 9th season, so I've got pretty much been 10 years now. Similar sort of scenario in some respects. I was at Caldy prior to that. I did 3 years at Caldy. And then actually it was Liz, who we sort of both know. I used to work with us at Salford. And basically she was leaving, and she sort of said, you know, I was looking for something a little bit closer to Manchester, which obviously travelling over to Caldy every week was a bit of a trek. Yeah, it wasn't great. So I took over from Liz with the first team stuff, and yeah, that was, I think it was 2011 sort of season that I sort of started with that, so it's been going on a while now.
And obviously they've been a National 1 club, they've been a National 2 club, so it is, you know, a really good standard. So how do you juggle your day job with coming here, because obviously the demands here are quite pretty much difficult as well?
Yeah, I mean, you don't get away from the lads for the most part.
Matt Riley, but,
yeah, well, yeah, there's a few of them, yeah. Max Ashcroft definitely is one of them.
Glad you said that.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of teach on the sport rehab degree at Salford, so that's my full-time job. So I'm a sport rehabber, and Ben's a sports therapist.
Right.
And so that's, as I say, a full-time job, so I'm program lead on there, and it's kind of takes a bit of time, to be fair, but I think we both see this as a bit more of a hobby as much as work, yeah, as well, to be fair.
Definitely. Is that because of sort of like the camaraderie you guys have?
Yeah, it's just nice being in a club atmosphere. I mean, we're both sort of football backgrounds in reality, but we've played a bit of rugby. Well, you've played one game.
I played one game and popped my shoulder. Well, we'll not talk about that.
Left tour because of it. So, yeah, that was a bit of a laugh. And it still comes up at work, actually, quite often.
Yeah.
So it can be a bit difficult juggling it, but like I say, we see it as more of a hobby rather than work, so it's actually quite nice to come down, and I don't see it as a chore to be here. It's good being around the lads, despite Matt Riles being around too much at the moment, unfortunately. So yeah, it's you just get on with it and do it, and it's just a bit of extra. It's nice to keep us hands in as well for us. It's, you know, doing that part time helps with the teaching as well, because we've got to practice what we preach, really.
Absolutely. Ben, for any young people coming through into your profession, is that something you definitely recommend, and looking at local rugby clubs, because you can get so many opportunities here?
Oh, 100%. Like, rugby's just unique, like as Alan said, sort of part of a football background. It's just a completely different atmosphere. As soon as you join a rugby club, you're part of a community, part of a family, and it's just really enjoyable, you know, relaxed atmosphere to work in. Certainly from my perspective, I love the physicality of it as well, despite obviously popping my shoulder the first game I played, but actually getting out and doing the rehab with the lads and you know, getting involved in that sense, I think it's invaluable for people to work in a contact sport like
rugby. Because you must see so many like complex injuries, because rugby is probably the most physically demanding sport.
Oh yeah, we see a huge variety of injuries, and you know, it keeps us on our toes, and certainly for a student or a new grad, you know, to come into rugby, they'll get such a vast array of experience from that. You know, that's part of the reason why we've set up the internship program here as well, and you know, we have sort of 4 students with us who are second years, and then we sort of take first years on massage based placements as well. So again, they get exposure to that. So
is that during the week or is that on the weekends? Or throughout, a
bit of both. Okay. Yeah. So we have the interns and the massage students down on a Tuesday and Thursday, and then we'll have the second year interns sort of assisting us pitch side on a Saturday, so they get exposure to that match day environment as well.
Absolutely.
Just exposure to a slightly different personality on our level as well, compared to being at uni. Thing, you see slightly different people from Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday compared to in the week.
And just finally, I think if you don't mind giving us an exclusive, Matt Riley, how long is he going to be back for?
Well, Matt Riley, how long is he going to be back for? The enigma that is Matt Riles' fifth metatarsal. It's at the moment we're still sort of trying to find out a little bit more info. He's got due for another X-ray soon, hopefully. We're waiting on that to see whether this troublesome fifth met has actually healed. It's been, well, we got him back, and then at Hull just seemed to do sort of twist on it a bit funny somewhere online, and it flared up again. So it's been 3-4 weeks again now, so we're hoping back in the new year that we'll be seeing Matt Riles running around on a pitch again and running over people.
Great stuff. Well, guys, thanks very much for your time. It'd be great chatting to you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Right, on to kind of the bottom half of National 2 North now, but you can also probably tell I've been joined by Max Ashcroft. If anyone's watching this, one of us might not be on screen right now because it's a bit of a tight squeeze this
one. Yeah, it's a bit tight, isn't it? We're getting nice and up close and personal.
We already spend too much time together these days. Yeah,
we do indeed.
But we're going to just kind of talk about some stuff that happened last weekend in National 2 North, as well as kind of just talking about training tonight and Wharfdale at the weekend for Sedgley Park Tigers.
Yep.
Kind of a nice way to end off the year.
So
the one result that caught everyone's eyes, I think, was the 0-0 draw between Otley and Preston.
Yep.
What, have you ever been involved in the 0-0?
No. When I saw the result, I was trying to have a think if I've been involved in one of those, but no, I haven't. But to be honest, I'm probably not surprised that those two teams had the 0-0 draw. They were probably just doing a lot of scrummaging, doing a lot of driving mauls, which they're very good at.
Right.
I would say they've probably got the two best set piece in National 2.
Right.
So, but yeah, not surprised that that was a 0-0 draw, really.
And Preston Grasshoppers are 8 points from safety at the minute, so they're in that relegation zone as things stand. Also in that is Huddersfield after Luctonians beat them at the weekend, which is a result they've leapfrogged Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And they're out of there. Huddersfield, have you would have played Huddersfield so far this season?
I wasn't playing, but I know the lads. They're always a tough team, always. You know, they were thereabouts last season, and you know, they have struggled a little bit this year, but they've still got some really good results. I think they turned over Loughborough, and Loughborough are sort of high flying at the minute and one of the teams in form. So, you know, I think they can probably beat anybody in the league on that day.
Yeah, and Huddersfield play Otley this weekend. So hopefully the Huddersfield attack coach is feeling pretty good going into that one.
Yeah.
And the Otley defence coach is feeling pretty good too.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of an interesting one, is that. But there's only 6 points between them. So it could basically mean that Huddersfield could claw some space back on there. Now we're going to talk about your game at the weekend, playing Sedgley Park Tigers will be playing Wharfdale, sorry.
Yep.
Wharfdale. Interesting place.
Yep, very interesting place. In the middle of nowhere, they get all the town over watching the game.
All the farmers,
I didn't want to say it quite like that, but yeah, all the farmers will be there.
Sorry, I'm a farmer.
All the tractors will be parked up outside. It's quite a hostile place to go play. It's a bit of a random place as well. But, you know, I think it's always a tough game down there, physical park. Good set piece, good in the line out, so it's going to be a test.
Sedgley Park Tigers this season, third place as things stand. Are you surprised with the early season form that you guys have been having?
I'm not surprised. They've had a lot of young lads play this season, and I think they've got however many games under their belt now, and they're just going to keep getting better and better. Mm. You know, we've had our injuries, you know, obviously Matt Riley being out, that's a big loss, but a lot of lads are stepping up, and, you know, the early part of the season, you know, it was a learning curve for a lot of the young lads, but I think now they've really bedded in, and you know, the future's bright for Sedgley, and they're literally getting better every single game, which is great to see. And, you know, this league's so competitive, but it's great that we've got such young players, you know, in the mix and haven't given it a go.
Right, Max, we have to go now, so yeah, no, thank you very much for joining us, and myself and Chris will just be cracking on with National 2 South next. National 2 South now. There's a 2-point gap between the top three, which is the top three. Oh, wow. The top three, which is Tunbridge Jodians, Henley and Taunton. Tunbridge Jodians beating Bury St Edmunds at the weekend, coming from behind to do that. Is that the sign of champions?
Well, you know, you hinted before, Joe, about Roslyn Park getting the job done, and honestly, that is the most stereotypical way, if you were going to try and get promoted, is that's what all the signs were there for Tunbridge Jodians on the weekend. You know, they've had a couple of tough results so far this season, and it looked like they may have been going another way to another defeat, which isn't what they wanted just before Christmas. But, you know, they went to a Bury side that hadn't lost at home all season, and to go there and turn it around is a massive, massive victory for them. And like we just said against Roslyn Park, it could be a result towards the end of the season where they go, that was a win, that win in December away at Bury could be the turning point. And it's been so, you know, it's swapped and changed a lot at the top of National 2 South. So a big win for Tunbridge Jodians going into the weekend.
Yeah, second place. Henley went to Leicester Lions and won. Leicester have actually really put up a great fight, considering they were just kind of shifted to National 2 South, mm-hmm. because of their geographical location. I can't say some words, but I can say geographical location without really thinking about it. That's bizarre. Yeah, Leicester not an easy place to go. National 2 North side knew that.
Mm.
And now the South is quite quickly learning that as well.
Because you would have thought they would use that tonight at their advantage, with them being a Midlands club.
Yeah.
These Southern teams, you know, having to travel a long way to get there, Leicester be thinking, actually, this is where we can really hammer home our advantage. But again, similar to Tunbridge Wrexhams, for Henley to go there and get a win, they've been really strong there. Leicester Lions this season is really, really big for them, so they're massively pleased. I know every team wants to try and get a bonus point, but that was really, really massive for them.
Is that the important thing for maybe a side that's challenging for kind of a title, a promotion, something like that? Is that the most important thing for them, being able to win on the road, to kind of ensure that you're getting points every week and your opposition, maybe you're playing away at your closest rivals, aren't getting that advantage?
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with you, Joe, because, you know, if you're, you know, you've just got to try and take it as yourselves and play the way you need to play, because if you try and say, oh, well, what are they doing this weekend? Oh, they've got a tough trip. There's no point doing that. You've got to focus on yourselves and get the result, and then look at, you know, in the clubhouse after the game, pint in hand, you've got the win under your belt, and that's all that matters at this stage of the season.
Yeah, Taunton had a bit of a rocky last couple of weeks, but they're back to the best after the win against Old Redcliffians, and, you know, is that the difference? Because Taunton are a good team. They've always been a good team.
Yeah, that's the thing. Always.
They've the bride's always been made, a good never
team.
The bride.
Yeah, no, and it's around this time of year that they really start to lose a bit of form.
Yeah.
And it's always a Christmas period. They seem to just struggle when the weather gets a bit bad. But that's a really big win for them on the weekend. They've had to grind out a couple of results. I know the game against Sutton and Epsom wasn't straightforward for them, and Sutton are down the wrong end of the table. So, yeah, Tony Yap will be really, really happy with that. And, you know, they're very much still in the hunt. And that's, again, at this time of the year, that's where you really want to be in Taunton. I've been there. They know how to, you know, get in that top three mix. It's about now sustaining it. And if they're still there in February, March time, they've got every chance of trying to wrestle up the spot from Henley and Tunbridge Wrexhams.
Yeah, of course. That win over ORs has basically resulted with, you know, that's left the Old Redcliffians with one win in nine.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't want to say relegation fodder, but when you're getting that kind of, you know, that kind of form, you don't want it to kind of consume you.
No, you don't want it to be a habit, do you?
No, and unfortunately, if you're winning one out of the last nine, it is becoming a habit.
Yeah, they're a team that have managed to dig themselves out of trouble. The last few years, it's been string four or five wins together, and it's enough to keep you up, and it might have to be the same again for all Redcliffians. I know they had a change of coach this year, Alex Davis, who's obviously at Bath. He's come in, and they've got a really exciting project there at all Redcliffians, but the results, you know, one win in nine is not what they want to be doing. They've actually slipped into that bottom three. And, you know, at the moment it's still really tight down there, so they've got every chance of getting themselves out of it. But if they are to end this year with a defeat, they'll have to probably reassess stuff in January and try and figure a way out to stop this slide, because, you know, they have to hold it soon, because one win in nine is just not good enough at the moment to keep you in the league.
Yeah, and they're in the bottom three alongside Sutton and Epsom and Bournemouth. Sutton and Epsom and Bournemouth, obviously, were the two of the three teams that came up last season. It's really difficult, because it seems like we're always talking about these recently promoted sides that are in these relegation zones, and it's a bit of a pain. But that is indicative in all sports, I've noticed.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think we said it before when we were down at Old Albanian. It's one of those things that clubs coming up to this level will always say, "Yeah, maybe we're not targeting to stay up, but you know that has to be the main aim." And for these, I mean, Sutton, Epsom, and Bournemouth have, you know, they're still in with a shout. I mean, the game that we'll probably go on to, that they played at the end of November, Sutton were winning with about 15 minutes to go, and then the lights went out. So that game was abandoned. I think it's currently under review what's going to happen with that next, and obviously we'll find out on the NCA. All the latest news for that will be on the NCA website.
The review deadline is around today.
Yeah,
tomorrow, kind of today, tomorrow kind of thing. So what will happen with that will happen if this podcast comes out after that ruling is made. You know, it's just one of those things that we can't really account for, and whatever is the decision that's made, if it's a replay game and that kind of, is it in March?
I'm not sure when it would be, probably maybe whenever time.
Yeah, whenever Caldy are playing Sedgley Park Tigers and all the cancelled games, that's when this game will probably be replayed.
Yeah.
What was the result as things were going on?
I think it was 2015 to Sutton and Epsom. And it would be a big one, because if the result stood, they'd be out the relegation zone right now. So, it'd be an interesting outcome to see what happens there. But both teams will be keen for a result one way or the other.
Yeah, and just a quick mention of Westcliff, who, you know, have beaten Esher and Redruth.
Big wins.
Two big National League names in there.
Yeah.
Westcliff. Are Westcliff? Do you think Westcliff are actually maybe going to kind of escape it?
Aye, lad. Sorry, Baxter's just walked in. Do you know what? I think they've done well recently. You know, 11 points from the last five games is massive for them, I think. they've got great setup down there. We've done an In Focus this week with Joe van der Molen, who was former Bedford player and a Chinner player.
Yeah.
And he's just said, you know, they've kept the ethos the same, they've kept the principles the same. But they've changed, you know, the tweaks in coaching staff. You know, Jacob Ford's coming to the club, Jackson Ray's doing bits with the forwards, I think. You've got the likes of, forgot his name, and John Sonnerhall, he's sort of the pathway coach at Westcliff. So they've got the right structure in place, and now they're starting to see the rewards from development in that league. So every credit to them, they've got the results that they need, and wins against Red River and Esher. Not many teams will beat both of them this year, so fair play to them.
Games of the week?
Games of the week.
National One, Chinner versus Richmond, pretty self-explanatory, that one.
Title race, well and truly alive in that league. Chinner at home, been brilliant at home. I think they've won the last three or four at home.
Yep.
Brilliant for them. Richmond, you know, they'll want to get there and just get the 4 points. That will all that matters. For me, I'm going to go for a home win, I think.
Yeah, and again, National One, January. So top four of those clubs are going to be a pole? Pole?
Yeah.
Nice pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what the country wants, another pole. National 2, North, Preston versus Fylde. Of course, North West Derby.
Love the Derby.
Permutations at the top and bottom of the table.
Massive permutations at the top and bottom of the table. Fylde will want to bounce back after Sheffield Tigers last week. Preston, which we have discussed, you know, 0-0 draw last week against Dotley, ending the run of defeats. But that might be the thing that pushes them to the win on the weekend. Draw early in the season between the two sides as well. Yeah. I think Preston came back into it. Fylde were a bit disappointed. I think I'm going to go with an away win, though. Right there.
Okay, and in National 2 South, Redruth versus Taunton. Of course, if Taunton win this, it stands them in pretty good stead going into the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. A difficult place to go and get a result. I think since you spoke to Fraser Honeyjoe for our In Focus, they've lost once Redruth. So that's pretty impressive. And stuff Fraser's been at the heart of most of the good things they've done. But Redruth have gone about the business nicely. They changed the director of rugby at the start of the year, came back in, tweaked a few things, but they're going really, really well. And Taunton will know that's a difficult place to go just before Christmas. To be honest, I think Redruth might get the job done, and it might be one of those Christmas defeats that have been all too customary for Taunton. So hopefully hopefully for Taunton that isn't the case.
Right, so that is it for this month's episode of the National Club Association podcast. This year!
It's been a
year of podcasts, and it's the end of 2019. So, all that's really left to say is you can follow NCA Rugby at NCA_rugby on Twitter. Is that right?
That is right.
NCA Rugby on Instagram, and just type in NCA Rugby onto Facebook, and then you'll find it at the top of the search. You can follow me and Chris various places. Our ads are everywhere anyway. I don't think we really need to start saying them anymore. It's getting a bit embarrassing when we say it.
Yep.
Thank you very much for listening to this latest NCA podcast, and I'm sure you'll hear us next time.